We are being transformed back into the perfect man, which is the image that Jesus took. Yes, we're being transformed back into the image of Christ. When we speak of His humanity, which is where Adam started, but not into His deity. He is the Lord God of the universe come in the flesh. He is the Creator. Not one of the creators. The Bible does not teach God's plural. Now, yes, in two places in the Bible, Psalms 82 and then Jesus quoting it in the Gospel of John, it refers to us as gods with a little g. And the only reason for that in context, see, doesn't mean that, you know, we can create out of nothing. Now listen to me, I'm saying things now that are going to come down on some of your heads later. See, gods can demand things to happen when they speak. And they will happen because they're a God. Now there's some teachers that are trying to teach you to do things like that. And it'll happen if you demand it because you're a God. But they don't tell you that. But the teaching is out of the cult. What you need is a word from God to know what to say to start with. You need to be being led by the Spirit of God so that you know. And listen, then when you command not by your own authority, but by the name of Jesus. But everyone that says the words, the name, listen, the words in the name of Jesus are not a magic incantation whereby you think if I say that with enough authority, it'll happen. See, now you're playing God. Now, yes, we are gods in this sense. Who is your father? Through the new birth. See, you got born again. You got a new father. Well, who is this new father? He birthed you, according to 1 Peter, with an incorruptible seed.
Hallelujah.
Now, I know most of you come from churches that don't like that doctrine. I don't know if you know what you just heard. It says it's incorruptible. But if God is your father, if your father is God, well, that would make you a little God in the sense that your father is God and you're his son. So in that sense, yes. But you're not evolving into a God. You're not working your way up. The instant you accepted him as your father, that moment, you became a God with a little g that can still only create a lot of trouble. Out of nothing. But we're talking about a God that can create the universe out of nothing. A personal God. See, their God is the force, impersonal. My God says in the Bible, when you go to the bathroom, dig a hole and cover it up. Honey, I call that kind of getting personal. The God of the Bible isn't like the force. He says when you have intercourse with your wife, wash yourself off. I call that personal. Getting real personal. Downright intimate. He says, yeah, I'll tell you how intimate I am. You can call me Dada if you want to. That's Abba. Lord, that's pretty intimate.
Amen.
Now listen. There's a difference in being familiar with God. See, that's very familiar. Some of you come from high church. You can't handle that. You have to say, our Father who art in heaven. You know, to you, God's 20 billion light years away. I mean, that's cold, baby. But let me tell you what God isn't. Listen to me. It's one thing to call him Dada. That's familiar. That's intimate. But it's another thing to call him Buddy. Yeah, that's my old buddy Jesus. No, that is not the kind of relationship. That's treating him cheaply. Dada is tender. Do you see the difference? So yeah, in this sense only. Now, so in the cult, karma goes like this. Karma is their doctrine that they do not allow you to question. You cannot even discuss it. It is presented as fact. It may not be discussed. You lose your, quote, salvation if you discuss it, and that means you're going to have to go back. Now, you're not going to hell. No. In the cult, you never go to hell. There's no hell. Oh, maybe for a little while, but you're going to get out eventually. Maybe a little purgatory, but you're going to get out. There is no eternal punishment in any of the cults. Why? Because eventually you're going to finally evolve your thinking and make that moment of enlightenment and get out of the cycle. Krishna will leap through and grab you by the little curlicue and pull you out of the morass. Now, in the cult teachings, and remember, I'm now trying to show you just what some of the highlights of it. In the cult teachings, they'll all say, we believe in Jesus. And this confuses Christians. You say, golly, Brother Floyd told me that bunch was a cult and lost. And I ask him, do you believe in it? And he says, yes, I believe in it. Let me tell you what the cult teaches. Now, different denominations teach slightly different versions of what I'm going to say, but I'm giving you the bottom line. They do believe in a God that created, in one sense. First, they've got Big God, the Force, totally impersonal, but the solar logos, now he's the big boss. But of course, he ain't a person. He's just energy. He didn't care a fig about anybody, just whoever gets on his vibration wave. And the object is to keep coming back till you do in reincarnation or transmigration. Now, under him there is a God that's a physical being. He's Lucifer. Now, they got all kind of names for him. You know what I mean? There's no telling what they'll call him. I mean, some of those Tibetan names for him, you know, and you can't pronounce them if you see them. You know, but that's who it really is. It's Lucifer, the light bearer. And the whole deal is he is the light bearer. And what you need is to see the light. Remember the scripture says Lucifer, Satan, can be as an angel of light. No wonder his ministers can transform themselves as angels of light. Okay? Now, under him is a pyramid. The bottom ladder are the jerks. That's all the stoops. They're the and now they always have titles, and these are basic titles. You know, different denominations change it, but basically you've got the initiates, and then you've got the adepts. And let me tell you, oh y'all, they look down their noses at this bunch. And now sometimes, you know, in certain parts of the cult, you might have adept broken down into 10, you know, there might be 10 titles here, you know, and you know, you work up yourself to finally becoming a prince adept. Ooh, hallelujah. And at the top of that, of course, are the masters. And usually they call themselves the masters of wisdom, because that's what the devil said. Through wisdom, you'll become a god. See, all the Gnostic cults, the word gnosis, the Greek word gnosis, Gnostic, means wisdom, knowledge. So it's through your salvation. Now here's how you get saved. First, an initiation rite. Secondly, you must maintain and continue to do good works in order to keep saved, or you lose it and then have to come back through karma again. Now what was karma? Karma is this. Now it's so close to sowing and reaping that it's confusing for most Christians. So I'm going to try and put it to you where a Christian can understand it. I mean that because, you know, the Middle Eastern, most of these doctrines are tied up in all the Middle, you know, the Eastern cults. You're having a bad trip. Therefore, you just look in the mirror and say, I'm having a bad trip. Well, my husband left me. He hadn't. I wish he would. You know, that jerk. You know, I've lost my job. You know, what? You start looking at your life and you decide, I'm having a bad trip. Therefore, I must have sown a bad crop in my previous life. Okay, do you see it? That's the law of karma. Quote, I'm having a good trip. I must have sown a good crop the last time through. Now, let me tell you what's wrong with karma. So see, the idea is you keep... So if you live a good life, the next time you come back... See, first time, you might have been an initiate, but you were a red hot one. So when you die, you come back maybe as an adept in somebody else's body. Now, people that keep saying, oh, I've been reincarnated, and they start giving you facts that they really can't know about. You do know how they got it, don't you? They got demons tell them the information. Now, listen, people in the cults don't believe in demons. They're in constant communication with them, the leadership, and many of the other people. But they don't know that they're demons. They're deceived. They think they're just friendly spirits going through the air. They're usually people that used to live, or maybe even nature guides, nature spirits, or my ancestors. I mean, they're here to help me because they've already... The reason that you do know why they worship their ancestors, don't you? They've already become gods. See, they made it. They made it. They made the jump. They reached nirvana or samadhi. See, they all got their name for it. So they worship. Now, and see, that's where we got worshiping saints from. Someone to help you make it. When Jesus says, I'm the only help you need.
Amen.
Now, if you keep coming back, see, the idea is you keep coming back higher and higher. But if you foul up one of these things, you go back, my goodness, you might end up a frog again and you're back into the pond. Do you understand that this is exactly the sea? Do you see that evolution is just a highly civilized, technical way of talking about... What is the basic doctrine of evolution? Listen to me. Evolution is nothing more than Baal worship. You hear me? Every mystery Babylon is Baal worship. They're the same. All the cults are involved in it. And the basic idea goes like this. The force, by random chance, through his power, you know, a light, electricity, a lightning bolt, a shock wave, generated by random chance the chemicals to come together, and he gave it the light, the spark of life. And the teaching is that this thing had in it instantly, part of it was, chlorophyll. And that the sun then came to the rescue and got him going through photosynthesis. And from that, everything that's living on this planet has evolved. See, in other words, the life giver is a combination of the force, and the continuing life giver that could sustain it is the sun. That's what Baal is, beloveds, is the sun. Now, remember I taught you before that the sun... See... Boy, I've just got so much. I'm going to postpone that one for a few moments. And let me finish coming back here as a master. But we got to get on that. Now listen. So hopefully you finally work up to become a master of wisdom. Now you're top level. All these guys are demon possessed. Hey, and let me tell you something. Yes, I believe they hear voices we don't hear. And I believe, you know, they tell you, you just haven't seen it. You haven't heard. I believe them. I believe they see things I don't see. But I see things they don't see.
Hallelujah.
And I've heard voices they hadn't heard too. And they never will till judgment. Now, so the idea is you work up your way, and even once you become a master, there are levels of master. There are seven levels in the master level. Now, the top level, according to their teachings, only one man has ever made, the seventh level initiate. They have a name for him. They call him Lord Maitreya. In their teachings, he will rule this planet. He is. Now listen, they teach that the word Christ is an office. They're not far from wrong. Is an office, not a person. And that many people have held that office. And that in time, every time God, and the one they're talking about is the one that's controlling everything, Lucifer, not the force. He's above Lucifer. Lucifer's controlling what the force got started. Lucifer is tied in to the good side of the force. In their doctrine, they're the White Lodge. Well, see, you got to realize, see, the bad guys think we're the bad guys. They're the White Lodge, we're the Black Lodge. When the truth is, see, and they think, listen, in their teachings, yes, you'll hear them, the Christ is coming soon to destroy, and he's going to kill all the wicked. That's us. We're wicked because we believe in separation. Do not unequally yoke. And see, we're wicked because, hear this, with the Jews and the Muslims, we're wicked because our religion has not evolved. Our religious thinking has not evolved. We still are tied to the religious beliefs that go back 6,000 years. We still believe that stupid story in Genesis of the fall of man. We have not progressed. We're not evolving. And they teach everything must evolve. That not only, see, everything, even religions must evolve. You must continually keep going in your changes. See, you can't stay with what not the beliefs of your fathers and forefathers. It must evolve. See, higher and higher. I'm just trying to show you that's why, don't you understand? It's why, to the death, they're committed to evolution. The only other alternative is what God said. In the Bible. And this they have rejected. Now, in their teaching, so here's the seventh level. One man has made it. Incidentally, there's a full-page ad in papers all over America, came out about a year and a half ago, saying Lord Maitreya was here and he'd be revealing himself very soon. I don't know if he will be the Antichrist or not, but he sure fits everything that's needed to be him so far. In their teachings, Jesus is one of the Christ. See, oh yes, yes, we believe in Jesus. He was one of the gods. Big deal. Everybody's a god. He became a god. He evolved that high. But in their teachings, y'all, he only made... Are you ready? See, Jesus didn't get to keep his resurrection body. He had to give it up. Because he only made the fourth level, Buddha made the sixth. Incidentally, Jesus is a fourth level initiate, so being only fourth level, he couldn't keep his resurrection body. Incidentally, in there, Jesus is alive. He's living in the body of a 640-year-old Syrian somewhere in the Himalayan desert. So, what do you mean? See, Christian, wake up. You've got to find out what people mean when they say, I believe in Jesus. Well, what do you mean? He's some 600-year-old Syrian out in the desert? You know, stop. Whoa, we're not talking about that. Now, in the Muslim religion and these others, he's the Imam. And they believe that this man then, don't you see? Now, one other tenet in their teaching is that there have been new ages all through the past and that we're coming to the seventh new age. Isn't that? We're going to begin the seventh new age. Gosh, they're so close. It's going to be the 7,000 years. We're right at the end of the 6,000 years. A new thing is about to become. It's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. They're so blasting close. Of course, the devil's always close. It's always a lie, though. It's just close enough to make everyone think all religions are teaching the same thing. Everybody says he'll be here by the year 2000. They do, too. But they're not talking about the one we're talking about. They say we believe the Christ is coming, and they say he's the Messiah. But they're not talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Do you hear what I'm saying? In their teachings, every time a new age begins, one of these, they call them avatars, one of these messiahs comes, gets things started and leaves. And he gets it started so good it lasts, you know, for an age until it's time for another avatar. So, you know, Buddha came and held things together for a while with his wonderful teachings and Jesus did his job and on. This guy's coming for the final age. It's called the New Age. But it ain't new. Well, it's been taught in the Bible for a long time. Since they believe in reincarnation, mass murder really isn't so bad. You're helping them out. See, they're going to come back. It's okay. It's okay. Do you understand Hitler was part of the cult? All the SS troops had to take the Luciferic initiation. Hitler called on Satan to possess him. He was demon-possessed. Hitler was in the old cult. He used mescaline to help reach his moment of enlightenment. Let me mention the moment of enlightenment. All it is let me explain it to you. I know for most of you this will be hard to grasp because it's so foreign to your intellect, and they know it. They believe in a monism. And a monism simply means all is one, and it presumes that all distinctions between people and objects, as well as distinctions between good and evil, are illusions. There is no distinction between people and objects. You're the wood, you know, you're one. And the problem is, you don't think so. Your thinking is screwed up. You are part of one thing, monism. God is all. And you're part of God. So the solution to all your problems is deep within yourself because you're part God. Everything, the force put everything in you that was needed. And all your problems can be solved the moment you realize that the deeper you go within yourself, you will find that Godhead in you and become a God. Whereas Christianity teaches, see, they hate our teaching that teaches humbling of self and deprecation of self and that self is wrong. See, they hate the teaching that says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? They hate the teaching when God condemned the earth in Genesis chapter 6 and said the imaginations of man is continually evil. Now let me tell you something. You know why you should never date unsaved people? Look what God just said about their imaginations. You girls in here. Now listen, I was one of those men, unsaved for 36 years. You know what God said? I didn't like it either. the imagination of their heart is continually evil, always. Honey, before I got saved, I only had one thought about you. I don't care what I said to you to try, you know, I'd bring you flowers, tell you how cute you looked and how smart you were. I had one thought in my mind. It was getting you in that bed.
Amen.
And every man in this room, when you were lost, you know that so. And some of you, to this day, are still having that problem because you hadn't surrendered that sin to God yet. You may have accepted Jesus, but you're trying to hold on to that sin and walk with Jesus. You will be miserable. They hate that doctrine. They renounce it because it's saying the opposite of their doctrine. We're going to be gods. And so deep down is not wickedness. Deep down is Godhead. Do you see? Everything is totally the opposite in the cult teachings. Now, in the monism, since everything, see, good and evil, that's an illusion. Everything is one. The force is one. It permeates everything. Or it permeates everything. They hate the doctrines that the Holy Spirit is a He. See, that kind of fits their doctrine of the force. And it's an it. And in this teaching, no matter what your five senses tell you, we're all part of one. Now see, many of the charismatic teachers put down the five senses. It makes fun of them. You know, you ever been to one of them that makes fun of them? Listen, that's cult teaching. That's part of the cult. Don't you listen to what those senses tell you. No. No, your hand didn't burn. That oven isn't hot, and your hand isn't melting on that oven. Just make a positive confession about it. It isn't true. It isn't real. You don't need your five senses. Why? The devil uses your five senses, and so does God. See, that's the problem. I'm glad I've got senses in my hand so that when I lean on the oven, I don't have to wait till the whole thing melts, you know, before I realize I'm cooking. I'm glad that I've got senses. I'm glad I've got eyes. Yes, my eyes can... I can be deceived into sin through the lust of the flesh with them, but I can also observe the beauty of God's creation. The beauty of my children that God has given me. The beauty of my wife that God has given me. The beauty of reading God's words. Praise God for my eyeballs.
Amen.
No, there's nothing wrong with the senses. Who gave these to us? God. Did He make a mistake because we misuse them sometimes? No. The mistake isn't God's. It's our will to use them against His will. But see, they deprecate the senses. And here's what the five senses, and here's what they say. That's where you're screwed up. It's your five senses that are at fault. You think you are a physical separate entity. You believe you exist as a person. And that's why you're so screwed up. You don't. You are part of the all. And so the idea is, it's kind of like a quart jar. The air in that jar is you. And the problem is, in your mind, you exist as air in a quart jar. They call it your Atman, kind of like your soul. And the object is to merge intellectually with the all because you already are part of it. So the object is to get wise enough where the lid gets unscrewed and your air just merges into the... And now you're lost. You're no longer an individual. You're part of the all, the force. Now, the idea then is like a drop of water. That's a single drop, and you think you're that drop. But you're only part of all. So what we need for you to do is become, drop into the ocean and become where we can't find that little molecule of water is so disseminated throughout there. We can't find it. Ah, I made it. That's it. So now, what do they do? See, your intellect just can't handle that. It's, you know why? God didn't make you that stupid naturally. Praise God for common sense. See, hon, you just don't believe that jazz. So, poor fool. We've got to get... See, she's lost in her ignorance. Now, we've got to save her through an initiation rite. Did you get that? Any of you that have been taught or believe that you're saved by some initiation rite? Like water baptism? Oh, honey, that isn't Christian teaching. That's part of the cult. Oh, and then the way to stay saved is after that you have to continue in good works, or it's back through the rosary, through the whole thing again. Now, I know some of you are going to hate what I just said, but what I'm saying is the doctrine of the loss of salvation is part of the cult. It has nothing to do with truly understanding the Bible. And I don't care whether you like that or not. God loves it. Because that's the only way you're going to go to bed and have peace. Listen to me. If I'm still worried about losing my salvation, I ain't got time to worry about your miserable soul. I'm worried about number one. Peace with God is, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And it had nothing to do with initiation, right? I'm saved through a person, not an initiation. Now, Jesus did tell you to be baptized, not to save your soul. One reason was to save your, to help save your derriere, to help to give you a good conscience toward God, Peter says in Peter. A good conscience. God said, do it. I did it. I closed the door on my old life. I went down in that water. I died.
Hallelujah.
And then I came back to life. Resurrection. I'm a new man. I believe Jesus died and came back to life. And I believe when I die, He'll call me back and bring me back.
Hallelujah.
That's what baptism's all about.
Amen.
Death to the old life, rise in newness of life. I believe He died and rose. I believe I'll die and rise. And if I don't die, I'll just rise. But I will be changed.
Yes.
All right, now,
yes.
I'm trying to get you to see that I'm trying to introduce you to the cult teachings, because all of your denominations have some of them. And I'm trying to show you that it's Mystery Babylon. It isn't true Christianity. But we've been, look, it isn't your fault. You just got on the planet and somebody told you what to believe, and it's your own fault. You didn't read the Bible to find out if they were right. Or if you did, you only read one verse, the one they showed you, out of context. To make a slave out of you, a spiritual slave. And they didn't know what they were doing. Somebody had already done it to them.
Right.
And someone did it to them. And to them. Generations. You know who? Right there at the top of the ladder. Lucifer himself. And so, see, the idea is then that they teach that earthly wars and ailments are not the consequence of disobeying a sovereign God. See, why are there wars? Disobeying God. The consequences of disobeying God. Why is there sickness and death? The consequences of sin against God. They say, no! The reason you have sickness and death and wars is the result of a temporary failure to comprehend that you're really God yourself and one with the universe. Who is God? The universe is God. Now, you can't accept that. Oh, we'll help you. And every one of the denominations in the cult uses different methods. LSD. That'll blow your mind where you'll believe anything.
That's right.
You ever, and they make it. They become one. Have you ever seen the look? Just that blank. See, because we've got to get your mind in a terribly weakened, conditioned state to really believe that you don't exist as a corporal entity. And that everything, nothing really is here. It's all illusion. Son of a gun. That's what Christian Scientists teach. I love it. They teach that. And when you ride to work with them in the car, when they get out, they lock the car to keep people from stealing. See, that's the thing about the cult. When you finally dig deep and follow through logically, you can always see their inconsistency. He says everything's an illusion, but he locks the car to keep anyone from stealing his illusions that are in the car. Glory to God. So in order to get your mind to believe something, see, we must get those senses put down. Alcohol. We let you sit in a lotus position, staring at the tip of your nose with your fingers like this, saying some yantra or mantra over and over, which are merely the names of demon gods of India. Om. These are names for Satan in all the old cult writings. One of the main principal gods of India is Shiva. That's the name for Lucifer in all the older cult teachings. And they're calling on these demons to possess them, because once you get demon possessed, it's real easy to believe that you don't exist. The demon will help you. You're calling on the demon to come by name and help you make the jump to become a god by no longer believing, blowing your mind. Where you no longer believe you exist as a corporal entity. And so all different parts of the cult have many, many techniques. Hypnosis, y'all, that's got nothing to do with science. Hypnosis goes back thousands of years. It's a method for helping people believe they don't exist. The people that believed it, finally, some of them, part of their religion, became psychologists and brought it into psychology and said, it's wonderful, this is science. Many things that parade as science are nothing more than the cult teachings. They hate us because we teach God is personal and that you can know Him personally. When they teach, that's the greatest blasphemy that can be uttered. God is unknowable. He is the unknowable. Look, He's the force. You can't know Him. And when we say that you can, oh. Astrology is always tied to their doctrines. Your fate is in the stars because the force is guiding the stars. And what's got to happen to us? Now, here's what they're teaching is about to happen. When Maitreya gets here, the Christ, you guys see, you're not going to accept Him. Now, the deception will be great. So great, if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. But you won't be. So you won't take His mark. And see, some of you may not make the rapture. Some of you may not be saved yet. So if you don't, the pressure to take His mark will become great. Or on the other hand, should I be wrong about the pre-tribulation rapture? It is possible. We'll all be faced with it. I don't think I'm wrong. If I did think I was wrong, I'd teach another position on the rapture. Do you understand that, John Bigelow? But the point I'm making is, they will put all these people to death to help them. See, as they stand in this life, they just can't make the jump to recognizing their own, the fact that they're gods. Now, you hear this. Many of you, many charismatic teachings have to do with the fact that we're gods. Not all, but there's quite a few. They'll read scriptures that talk about Jesus. He's called the man-child in the Bible, and they'll say, we're the man-child company. We're gods. And that every scripture in the Bible that talks about the man-child, Revelation is talking about Jesus Christ. He's the hero of the Bible, not you and me. It's cult. Now, the men teaching it aren't necessarily part of the cult. Do you hear me? They're deceived by the cult into wanting to be gods, and all we're going to become is the perfect men that God always intended us to be. A little lower than the angels. Very little. When God gets through with us, because we're going to be one notch above Adam, He fell. We won't. So you shall ever be with your Lord. So when He comes, we're going to, all the people on the earth that won't bow to Him will be put to death to help them out. Now that ain't the way they're going to say it. See, in the cult, they've got wonderful ways of saying things. Y'all listen to this. Here's the way Hitler said it. Heinous acts like murder they call cleansing actions. That's right, we've got to cleanse the planet. We'll cleanse it. Now it's okay. These people are being sent to another level of vibration to get it all together again. See, no one ever goes to hell. See, you just keep going back into the cycle till finally you do become a god. So there is no eternal punishment in their cult teaching. The exact opposite of the Bible. So, part of sending someone to another level of vibration is, see, you can't go to another level of vibration in a human body. So what they call mass extermination in Germany of whole populations, that's called resettlement. We're going to resettle them. And in their doctrines, lastly, they teach that Lucifer came from the planet Venus to Earth 18.5 million years ago. And incidentally, in their teachings, when you read it, the ones that really go into detail, Jesus answers directly to the, quote, the Venetian master. I wonder who that would be. Who came from Venus 18.5 million years ago? You got it, hadn't you? So no, Jesus is not the Lord. He is not the Christ in their doctrines. He's one of the Christ, one of the Lords. And so, beloveds, salvation to them is knowledge. It begins with an initiation rite. Everyone that doesn't believe that, when he comes, will have to be sent to a new level of vibration. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. You remember in Revelation it says, liars will find their way into the lake of fire? How many of you remember that? Revelation 21 and 22. Boy, that probably shook some of you up and said, oh, I told one. Since I got saved, too. He didn't talking about that. The definition in the Bible of the lie. You shall not surely die. You will become a god. That's part of the lie. But the lie for which there is no forgiveness. It's the only sin that there is no forgiveness. It's the only one Jesus didn't pay for. He paid for all sins except one. The lie. The final lie. Verse 22, who is a liar? Here's the Bible definition of the lie. But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. If you've got a Bible and it doesn't say the there, you better get rid of that one and go buy yourself a real Bible. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father. Well, now we know about the Jews. We know they're lost. Listen, Jews, you say, but Floyd, Jews believe in one God. They believe His name is Jehovah, and they believe the Old Testament. So did Nicodemus. And Jesus said, Nick, you're not even going to see the kingdom of heaven, much less enter into it, unless you get born again. Now, I don't say that anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. No, the cult is anti-Semitic. I want to see everybody. Listen, if you're in the cult, I don't hate you. I want to see you get saved. See, that's the difference. I'm not teaching you this so that you hate people that are in the cult, but that you'll give them the gospel, and some of them are going to hate you for it, because you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost to them. See, the Holy Ghost to them, well, that's the force. And you're blaspheming Him. You say you're not one with Him. And their whole religion is built on the char. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The things in the cult that sound so different to us is that they define sin totally different from the Bible and from what we're used to. Sin to them is, number one, separation. God tells the Christian, come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't unequally yoke yourself with the unbeliever. And this separateness that the Jew does and that the Christian does is sin to them, because one of their prime doctrines is the brotherhood of man. We're all brothers, we're all one, and we're all becoming gods. Along with separation, sin is failure to evolve to a higher level of consciousness as rapidly as you should. And that God is impersonal. And that one of the greatest sins of Christianity is we believe in a personal God and that we can know Him. They believe that God is ever unknowable. And to them, we have blasphemed God by saying we know Him. And we have blasphemed God by saying, by denying that we ourselves are gods and becoming gods through evolution and reincarnation. In other words, since we deny the God that is within us, I'm not talking about because you're born again. I'm talking about just because you're a human. Because we deny that deep within ourselves lies God, and that salvation comes at the moment you truly realize this, along with the understanding that your greatest problem is you think you exist as material, a material entity. Now, your senses are good if they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Your senses can cripple your faith. If you had the withered hand and you had been standing there and Jesus told you, stretch forth your withered hand, you could let your eyes cripple your faith to the point that you wouldn't do what the Master said, and you would not be healed. You didn't do what you were told. You'd still have a withered hand. You just look at that hand and say, well, it's withered. I've never seen a withered hand get healed, the doctrine of uniformitarianism. I've never seen a withered hand get healed. I was born with this withered hand. This is the way it's going to be. This guy can't do any good for me. Now, in this man allowed his senses to overpower his faith in God, the true God. Or he could have said, well, I can't see this God he's talking about, and if I can't see Him, I don't believe He's there. And if He isn't there, He sure can't fix my withered hand. So scratch that. I won't stick my hand out. Yes, it's true, the senses can get you in trouble. I bet you this would feel good. I know God said not to do it, but I think it would feel good. I'll do it. Your senses can definitely get you in a lot of trouble. But because the senses may yield to temptation and to sin, does not mean there's anything inherently wrong with the senses. God gave you the five senses, not the devil. And that when you finally, quote, realize that everything is maya, an illusion, you've made it. You've made it. Eureka. I don't exist. I'm nothing. Now, of course, once you become nothing, zero, you also, in their doctrine, say it's kind of a weird thing, because that's when you become fully God, because you merge with the force. All the energy of the universe. This usually is accompanied, this moment is almost always accompanied for them by an experience of light. They see a bright light. Salvation is an ongoing thing. It begins with an initiation rite. It's attained through knowledge. That's why they call it mystery religions. Only the in group that's been initiated gets to, do they let know what's going on. Now, they really don't. These are all what we might call esoteric religion. An esoteric religion, just the word esoteric, I love it. It just simply means the inner circle knows what's going on. See, here's a bunch of concentric circles on the blackboard. Well, here's you laymen. Stupid bunch. You don't know what's going on, see, over at the cult. You think you do because we got you initiated and we told you just enough to make you think you were learning something. And then, so if you look at this thing, see, I've got you looking at a bunch of concentric circles. Another way of looking at it, if you're looking at it from a side view, is a pyramid. Kind of like a dung heap. The boys, see, the people at the bottom don't know what's going on, but they think they do. They think they do. So they'll go knocking on your door, to your door, to help put out the propaganda, because they don't really know what's going on. Only look, see the top of the circle, the little cap, the top of the pyramid, the little capstone, that's the same thing in an esoteric religion as a little inner circle. Only the boys at the top of the pyramid really know what's going on and what they believe. They know if they told all the boys and girls at the bottom of the heap what they believed, they'd all leave. But see, for these people to have power, they've got to have a lot of people in the organization. Because people generate money and voting power and threatening power. What they do is, the higher up you go, they keep feeding you just, it's like the Masons. They just keep feeding you just a little more information, but you never really know what they believe. Now, for those of you in here that are Masons, let me say something to you. How dare you? I love you enough to say it. I'm just grinning at you. I love you. Listen to me. How dare you belong to a religious organization that brazenly admits, no, we are not Christianity. If we were Christian, we would not be Masons. Now here you are, think about it. You do belong, and I've got it in the writings of the Masons, Mackey, Pike, all of them. You may not know you're in a religious organization, but the big boys all admitted in their books. You belong to a religious organization that claims and confesses it is absolutely not Christianity. And when they pray, they will not, and it must not be done at the lodge, offer prayers in the name of Jesus. Now wait a minute. If you belong to a religious organization that says prayers, but they're absolutely not in the name of Jesus, I've got a question for you. What God do you think you're praying to over there?